Welcome to Tennis Insider Club. I am Borja Duran, and here is where tennis stories and life conversations intersect. Join us as we uncover the untold personal journeys of the icons of the court. From laughter to life lessons, it's all here. Now, here's a snapshot of what's coming up today.
Win is the main goal.
That for sure. Because I want to win when I play cards with my friend, when I play PlayStation, when I play anything outside, I want to win. People who really know me knows that I want to win everything. Enjoy the process, because sacrifice, it's easier when you enjoy a little bit.
Today's guest needs no introduction, as he's one of the biggest icons of this sport, Gael Monfils. After 20 years as a tennis pro, he keeps entertaining tennis fans all around the world with his unique style and amazing athleticism. But behind...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The amazing player, there's also an incredible, smart, down-to-earth human being. And we are very grateful to have had the chance to sit down with him and discover his personal journey to becoming one of the greatest players of the 21st century. We hope you will enjoy this as much as we did. Gael, thank you very much for being with us. For me, it's a great pleasure. I've been following you for a long time. I still remember watching your Roland Garros matches when I was 14, 15. So for me, it's like a huge honor to be here with you and Caro.
No, my pleasure is mine. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I love it. And I think at this point, everyone knows you. You've been one of the best players of the last decade or even of the century. But maybe you can share a bit your beginnings. How was your story with tennis? How did it start?
I started playing tennis around three and a half exactly. My parents were playing a little bit during the weekends in the hospital of my mom. I just remember short memories. It was very early, so of course I loved the sport and tried. I wanted to play with my dad. My obsession was to beat my dad, and then shortly we start to he teach me how to play tennis, be around me. And then I just love the sport, but I start with tennis, I start with football, I start with judo, karate, and a little bit later a bit basketball. So I was a sporty, you know, I was a sporty guy. But I chose tennis because it was an individual sport. It was easier for me.
You didn't like team sports?
I loved it, but you know, when you are a little bit young, you want that your, let's say, teammate fight as hard that you fight. And mm-hmm. and sometime I recall that saying to my mom, this guy didn't run and we could have do better. And then I was like, maybe easier on my own.
Nice. So it was like your choice to pick tennis, and it was like not something that came to you.
But yeah, choice. I think around 12, I told my mom I really want to go to this tennis federation center. So around 13 years old, I went to Rins to actually do a lot of tennis, and then. Still school, but in a different environment. And then I never get back home, actually.
how easy it was for you to convince your parents to like become to go in this journey to try to become a pro. Was it easy?
Yeah, my dad was okay. My dad used to be a soccer player, mm-hmm. so he was totally fine. It was more my mom. It was really tough. But at the end, she saw in my eyes, and also she felt that I really wanted to do this experience. Mm-hmm. And after a year of a lot of conflict with her, I had the yes and the go, and it was also something meaningful for me that my parents were mm-hmm. behind me and supporting me in this.
Nice. And you had like a super successful junior's career, right? I think you were already...
Lucky one.
Yeah.
Lucky one.
So for sure that made it easier also for your parents to see, right?
Not really, to be honest. I always say the year I was world champion junior, mm-hmm. I could have played, I had a walk out to a senior tournament and I had to pass this exam school in France. And my mom, she didn't let me go. I was underage, so I couldn't make my own choice. So no, my mom, honestly, she really acknowledged that I was a professional mm-hmm. around 23, to be honest, around 23. Okay. Always be careful with everything. She said, okay, mm-hmm. you're playing good now, but imagine you hurt for 1 year, whatever, mm-hmm. you can come back or whatever. So it was a long process for my mom to acknowledge that I was mm-hmm. an athlete.
That's actually like, because at the junior level, you were doing very good and you were already becoming famous in France. And do you think all that that pressure, did you feel very early from the French fans and French journalists to be the next Yannick Noah or next French Grand Slam champion?
I won't say pressure. I know I had a lot of eyes on me. But the way I am, I'm okay with that. To be honest, the way I am, I'm okay with that. I grew up in a way that I was really close with my friends, and they helped me a lot. They helped me a lot, and I always been a little bit different, I will guess, mm-hmm. on that. Okay, that's tennis world, but I had my friends. I had my let's say outside comfort zone that even I wasn't performing the best, mm-hmm. I was still happy because I had my friend. We could do so much other stuff, and of course I always have this eager to do better for the next one.
That's interesting to be able to keep like having. Very outside.
I think it's really important. Huh? We've been talking a little bit, Caro as well. Huh? Mm-hmm. We sharing, you know, here. But I think it's very important because, as you just mentioned, we have pressure. First pressure that we have, I think people must know, it's your own pressure. Yes, you put, you know, a lot of pressure to yourself. You want to achieve good. You want to win all the time. You know, most of people, sometimes they forget this. Especially, let's say about me, they think, oh, I want to do the show. I'm happy to do the show, but first, you know, in my mind is to win. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I can hear like sometimes, oh, he prefer to do the show instead to win. And I'm like, yeah, I think that, you know.
It doesn't hurt you for people to think you're more a showman.
It's quite okay, you know, because it's funny to think that, you know, because... At the end, maybe this is who they want me to be. Mm-hmm. But I can assure you, you know, to win is the main goal, that for sure. Because I want to win when I play cards with my friend, when I play PlayStation, when I play anything outside, I want to win. Mm-hmm. People who really know me knows that I want to win mm-hmm. everything.
You're a competitor.
The biggest possible. So that's why it's funny when people think it's all about the show and then the win after. It's mm-hmm. all about the win and the show in the same time, you know.
Yeah. Which I mean, part of your show, it comes from your amazing athleticism, right? I think it's not that you were like trying to make drama on court or like create some polemic. No, it was more like your game, like you're so talented. You're like so athletic that's so amazing to watch, you know?
That's a big part. I think, Caro, you can understand maybe what I will say, and it's not easy sometimes, is when I have a smash, I just jump, you know, I don't want to do something extraordinary, but for me, sometimes it's easier to jump.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very lucky and blessed that, you know, I can jump quite high and then it's spectacular. But the thing is, sometimes my choice is more to where I'm more comfortable. Mm-hmm. If it's jumping smash, I won't drive volley. You know, people will drive volley.
I will.
Of course, you know, of course, most of people will drive volley, but I will.
Maybe you should start jumping.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I will feel more comfortable with that. My gift is the way I see my coordination is also my gift. Was I used to do a lot of different sports. So, of course, playing basketball helped me to jump. It helped me all of that, the coordination. So it is spectacular on the tennis court, but is I won't say basic, but, you know, it's like when you dunk in, it's almost like you tell LeBron to lay up and then he can dunk. Of course he will dunk, you know what I mean? And of course I will jump and I will dunk. So it
comes natural for you.
Exactly.
Just the athleticism and the capacity you have makes your game be like this.
Or sometimes between the legs. People, you know, they say, oh, maybe you can turn around, you can do that. First thought for me is between the legs, because sometimes it's faster, sometimes because I'm lazy, you know. It's true, sometimes I'm lazy to move my legs, you know, on the side at the net. So you go between the legs.
That's when your amazing shots come, not when you're lazy.
But you need to be focused.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In this, sometimes people think, when you do the show, how they call it, when you do the show, you extra focus. And these people, they don't really see the difficulty. Yeah. They think like, between the legs,
it's not easy.
It require you more focus than a simple shot. Right?
I mean, I still didn't try in like 20 years because I'm afraid to be hitting my knee or my leg.
But you need to be really focused. And sometimes people will call it like more like show or... When you underarm serve or do some stuff like that, you need to be really focused. If not, it's impossible to do it. And a forehand, you don't have to be that focused because it's a memory muscle.
Yeah, it comes very natural.
Very natural.
Yeah. I'm very interested because you were talking before about how competitive you are, but tennis is a sport that comes with losing a lot at the same time, especially...
Every week.
You didn't came in the best era, no? Because you were playing at the same time with the best three guys of the history.
The best, this is the best,
Probably if you were born at any other time, right, you would have like many more wins, many more trophies. But I mean, so how was it? First of all, how is it for you to deal with losses almost every week?
I think it's great in a way. It's a good experience. It's a process of to be a tennis player week every week.
But is it easy for you, like, to deal with losses or not? Or it really affects you?
It become tougher when you get pro, because younger you win more than you lose. So it's the process, like the change is when you become pro. You know, that's the process, and I won't say it's easy. But you learn about it. You learn about it, and then you see also that no one really win every week except
those three,
those legends.
And you were so lucky; you had to play at the same time as them.
For me, it's a gift. I wouldn't be as good, as athletic. I think if those guys they weren't with me. Those guys pushed me to be a better tennis player, better athlete.
What's the best memory you have of playing with them?
I have many, to be honest. One now, I have many. Remember the first time I played Roger? Mm-hmm. I played him in Doha final. I think it was in 2006. Yeah, so I was really young. Well, it was amazing. It was the first time, you mm-hmm. know, for me to play against him. And he was already a Grand Slam champion. Mm-hmm. I lost 6-3, 7-5 or 7-6, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Not bad.
Good fight.
Good fight. And yes. I remember that I was like, wow, he's different. Mm-hmm. He's striking the ball different. He see different. And remember, after that match, I told my coach, I need to be better. I need to be faster because mm-hmm. he was taking the ball super early and the variation of his shot was incredible. And I remember say, if I want to win a set, it was not even the match, a set, I need mm-hmm. to be better. Mm-hmm. And I was super young. And then, you know, I played him a second time, lost, third time lost, fourth time lost. Fifth time lost, and I think I won the sixth time against him,
okay.
saving 5 match points.
Wow, nice.
To tell you the process, mm-hmm. but I was happy the first time I beat him because...
Do you have doubts at some point that am I going to be able to beat him one day?
Because... No, but look, now it's been 19 yes. against Novak. I never beat him. Well, I beat him in Challengers, like Futures.
Okay,
so you know, it's kind of like...
The first time you played, you beat him?
No, the first time we played mm-hmm. as a child, he beat me actually, you know, okay. like he beat me 7-5 in a third. I think it was under 16 in La Baule, mm-hmm. remember? So
oh, yeah.
I tell you that you don't doubt, but those guys, they are different.
Mm-hmm.
They are really different.
Mm-hmm.
But they make you like, when you play the very best player, at the end of the match, like win or lose, you always come out of the court saying, okay, I know I need to improve very specific stuff. And like, okay, they hit the ball different. I need to be faster than against the best player. And I think that's also why we like so much to play against those players, even if maybe they were like quite from another planet, but...
Also to think a little bit different because most people think all about tennis, but tactically, you know, it's you always ask question.
Yep.
You question Novak, like if I'm serving wide, mm-hmm. he's able to return. If I play on your forehand, he improves his forehand, you know, then his forehand is yep. become a danger. So also tactically, and those guys ask you to improve on every part. It's not all about tennis. It's, yeah. it's also... Okay, physically, but tactically, how you know you're going to handle it, how you're going to propose him. And all of that is you have to improve in general. So thanks to them.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, for sure, they make you a better player. But does it sometimes come to your mind that if you were like not playing at the same time as them, you maybe have, I don't know, like a slam or more tournaments, or it's something that you don't think much about it?
No, I don't think about it because who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe...
But at the end, they won like 70 slams.
I know. But as I told you, maybe mm-hmm. I would have been less good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have mm-hmm. no idea. It was still, because Novak and Rafa are still here, it's a privilege to play with those mm-hmm. guys.
Yeah, for sure.
And when you were at the top and many times during some good tournament in a row, you had to go through quite a lot of long-term injury. How were you able to cope and really like always find the strength to come back and then the energy and the belief that you could come back?
It's a good question. I feel like I've been very lucky with my family. They've been helping me a lot, as I mentioned before, in those tough moments. Try to always remind me who I am, why I'm doing that, and then it's never finished. If you believe, like the belief is really important, and they always been there. They they've been yeah, they've been there from day one to till now, and they give me this energy, these strengths. So that's a big part. And I feel also inside of me, you want to be the best that you can. So give up is not really an option.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really an option. I always wanted to show myself that I can achieve small goals, medium goals, and like, let's say, long term goals, and that's helping me a lot to drive my motivation and my courage to come back.
You need a lot of strength to do so, because sometimes it's hard.
No, it is. It is. Sometimes it's hard, but at the end of the day, we have to be grateful about what life gives us. We all have a gift. It's been to be a great tennis player. Maybe some are a little bit more special than us.
Yeah,
I will guess. But we're all special, I think, as an athlete, and we really have to try to maximize what we can do. And I feel like the toughest part is the comparison.
Mm-hmm.
You can compare yourself to legend, and many people wants to compare us to someone mm-hmm. that is completely different than us. So I feel like, yeah, you need to be you, you know that you gave your best. That's perfect, you know, and have your circle next to you. That's exactly what you need.
How easy is for you to handle all these outside comparisons, outside pressure or hate from fans, from journalists? No, because even in your country, at some points, maybe like they were a bit unfair with you. Is it something
I won't say unfair, but I think a lot of expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I never win a slam. A lot of people say I should have win a slam, and I always say. Not many done it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but look at they will give you the three guys who won a slam. You know, it's only three. Huh? Mm-hmm. You know, three guys who won a slam, and mm-hmm. you're like, yeah, but yeah, they are better than me. I know. You run faster. You jump higher. You hit.
So much but more complex.
The thing is, now it's towards the end of my career. You do people, you know. Make you like you won't miss one ball, you will play exactly perfectly every mm-hmm. shot. They can't believe that, you know, you're just less good than the guy, you know, the guy is better than you.
Mm-hmm.
And this because they want to maximize your potential. You know, potential mm-hmm. is nothing, you know. If I maximize potential, then everybody, we know, we can do everything.
Yeah.
But
not everyone can reach the 100 level.
And I don't know you. You know, it's like I said to people, you don't know what I have in mind.
Yeah.
You don't know where I've struggled. You don't know how I work. You don't know, yes, I have a good forehand, but how many hours maybe I put on my forehand, and maybe I prefer to eat sliced forehand. How you know, mm-hmm. you don't really know what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
That always like to see me as a big potential because I was fast on the court and mm-hmm. and then a bit different. But I've been struggling with a lot of stuff. I couldn't hit a volley at the beginning of my career. My backhand was awful.
You know, when I go to doubles after your singles career?
No, I mean, it's better my volley now. But,
okay.
You know, I see I was fast, but I was not really endurance. My mm-hmm. endurance was not that good.
Mm-hmm.
Tactically, I was okay, but not on every part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was maybe 1 meter in front of the baseline, I was lost on the tennis court.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know where to stand in the space. But these people, they don't realize that, okay, you're fast or whatever, but you know, you have acknowledged that it's very important in tennis. It's like, you fast, you hit, but no, you have a knowledge. And and all of that I had to learn. I have to train myself. And it's not coming like in 1 week. It's coming with losing every week, with experience, with sharing with other players or coaches. And then sometime you arrive at your prime. Maybe I'm at prime. I had, one or two chances? And I could convert them, you know, maybe one or two chances and I could convert them. But I've done my best.
Yeah.
But to arrive to your prime is not because someone decide that, okay, that's your prime. You should have. No, guys.
I think that's super interesting because, I mean, an amazing gift to have, this self-awareness, no? Because I'm not sure if like even most of tennis players have this ability to understand that they're not failing, you know, they're like just as good as it gets and they're losing matches just because the other opponent is better than them, right? And I think that probably this is super important in order to be happy playing tennis with your career, you know, and accepting that sometimes it's not failing, it's just the other person is better and I need to accept it.
I think you're right. Because sometimes also people, when you say someone is better than you, they take it, that is a loser mentality.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just reality.
on some matches, the guy is maybe better than you on these matches. You know, sometimes people take it like first degree. Sometimes, on these matches, those guys, they were better than me. And then maybe in 2 weeks, I'm better than them. Yes. And it's like the reality is I was maybe not 100% on this match. When I say I'm not 100% is I'm not feeling the ball as good that I should. Maybe I couldn't adapt myself to the wind, to the surface. You know, courts are slow, fast, whatever. I couldn't adapt myself as quick and as good that my opponent did. And today, my opponent was better than me. Like, he adapted himself, done better stuff. And when you say sometimes to the journalist or to people, they're like, oh, yeah, but what this is. No, it's just the truth. The guy today was better than me. Maybe tomorrow I am. But today, I couldn't. I give I give my best. And on to the next one, I'm going back to practice. And of course, next time you want to adapt yourself faster, you want to be less annoyed by the wind, by the sun. And we know we have those things. Sometimes you feel really good, but wow, the sun is right there in your serve. You try to move around the line, and then a small details can change the match because then you start to change your toss, your rhythm. You lose your rhythm in the serve, and suddenly, woof, your serve is struggling, and then you struggle in your match, and then can happen.
Yeah, we forget sometimes, and people from outside forget that we are so. I mean, the difference between two players is so little that only one little thing can make such a big difference in the score. And on top of it, like it's slams, big tournament, it's 2 week tournaments, and every day is so different one to another. And 2 weeks happens a lot of things for everyone.
A lot. I mean, what is for you your you know, let's say like the 2 weeks, like from the beginning to the end, like the biggest difference about, you know, like condition or even yourself. Do you have like something to share with us? Like, you know, you arrive in a tournament, maybe you arrive, you felt good or not good, but was windy, not windy. And then you boom, boom, boom. And then you.
I remember two Roland Garros. The one I did quarterfinal, all the week was pretty warm, not too much wind. And then I played my quarterfinal against Pliskova. The wind was terrible. The girl was serving unbelievable and I was serving terrible. So obviously I was not in the same advantage. And I couldn't make really the difference from the baseline without my serve because it gave me a lot of confidence when I can have 3 points. And another year is when I play Elina. I think he was fourth round. And almost all the days, matches before, I play on center court with the roof closed. And we know it was chilly that year. And I play Elina. The match before us on center court was with roof closed, so no wind, nothing. And they opened for us, and I was like, no, don't do that. Don't open. Do not open, because I'm already struggling every time I play Elina with her game style. You know, it's quite the opposition of game style.
Maybe, Gael, you can give us some tips.
And they opened the roof, and I think I lost like 6-2, 6-2. I couldn't play. It was like no clay anymore on the court. It was a terrible experience.
And this can happen, you know, in some people. It's really hard sometimes to explain to people that
outsiders.
It's not easy to adapt yourself. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. And of course, you want to be a good tennis player is the one who adapts the most with the most situation, like the perfect adaptation.
Yeah.
Lately, I've been saying, what is a good tennis player? Because people think that the good tennis player is only about he's playing amazing, he's doing... No. A good tennis player is his average level is quite high. Mm-hmm. In a way, his average level, his adaptation is quite high. When he's playing, let's say when we say we're playing dirty, you don't play in the good tennis, but you still win. Mm-hmm. This is a good tennis player.
Yeah, I think it was Nadal, no? Who said that... the best players are the ones that are able to win the matches even when they don't feel it at all, right? Because they find ways to adapt.
Those three, four, because I will put Andy Murray, I always put Andy Murray, those four guys, wow. Mm. Honestly, the adaptation, sick. And it's super hard and super easy to say, but you have to adapt yourself. Yeah. Wow. It's really hard. We work on it. We all have the way we want to work on it. It can be with tennis psychology. It can be with psychology outside of tennis. Mm-hmm. You have mentors. You have coaches. You have everything.
Mm-hmm. Do you work this mental part like in detail or?
But that's my point. Is maybe you work that. Mm-hmm. But it's not because you work about that that you will make it, you will succeed. And these two things is working is something, so it helps you to succeed. But as I say, help you.
Yeah.
It's not give you the 100% success. And that's why you all the time go back, and that's why we all the time work to be better mentally, physically, tennistically, but... Working is not the bottom line. The bottom line is everything that you've done before, try to put it to the, let's say, play your A game at that time, which is the toughest.
Yeah.
Which is the toughest.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What keeps you driving to keep playing now? Because you've had an amazing career now, almost like more than 20 years as a pro already.
To be honest, my family again.
Okay.
My family is not ready to let me see us. my parents definitely enjoy myself playing a bit more, and they see me always as a young kid still, which is...
I can see why.
which is quite fun. But them, you know, the strengths. And again, they give me the belief that, you know, I can push more, and then which is helpful at that moment of my career. I will say my wife as well, helping me a lot. See that I can still do some damage on the court.
Mm-hmm.
I want to also play a little bit more for my daughter. Mm-hmm. I wish that she can see me a little bit as a tennis player. I have a little bit memory, so I have to play a little bit longer because she's still young. And at the end, I will say myself too. I love the game.
You love the game.
I love the game. I love this game.
If you would stop enjoying, you would stop or you would keep
100%.
Going? 100%.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
I love the tennis. I'm really passionate about tennis.
Okay.
I love the competition. This is a big motor of my motivation. And as when I say my family, they just fuel a bit more the fire for mm-hmm. me to believe. Mm-hmm. And yeah, believe is fire. So when you believe, you think you can play a little bit more and then the cherry on the cake is you enjoy. So mm-hmm. that's a little bit why I'm still playing and why I want to play as many years that I can.
Nice. Super cool. You were talking about your wife, Elina, also a tennis player. How easy it is how is the fact of being married to also a tennis player? I mean, I think the upside is you get to spend a lot of time together probably, but the downside is that tennis is a roller coaster full of emotions. So for sure it comes with some challenges as well.
Yeah, it's a little bit different because when we start to date, before everything, because I like always to put back in context, but when we start to date, you need to feel good in the rhythm of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Before Elina, really to be with someone playing tennis, it was a short term, not like really long term. Mm-hmm. So it was now you want to be helpful. Mm-hmm. And not lose yourself in the same time. So it was easy because you are a tennis player as well. But the fact is straight away with her, we don't talk so much about tennis
mm-hmm.
outside of tennis.
Okay,
in a way that was important because our relationship is not based of tennis.
Mm-hmm.
We are lucky that we do the same job. We have the same passion of what we do. But the common point is different than tennis.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then this, you really have to be sure about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be sure about that. And then it was easier for both of us, you know, easier to... I love tennis,
mm-hmm.
so it was easier for me to go to see a match.
Mm-hmm.
A match is every time we go, we support because I love tennis.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You understand? I love tennis. I enjoy. It's not a sacrifice when mm-hmm. I go and see my wife. And sometimes it can be trouble, you know, because you play the next day or you lose in energy. And for us, it become easy
mm-hmm.
because we really enjoy tennis. And supporting, not really about tennis, but supporting each other. Mm-hmm. Like Elina, she knows that I really like when she's on the side of the court,
mm-hmm.
but not because she's a tennis player, just because my wife is supporting me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you create that, and then everything, and then I was lucky, the lucky one, because I asked her, you know, I was the lucky one that she said yes, you know. And then, of course, for me, she gave me the biggest gift in her life. She gave me, of course, a child, and mm-hmm. and her doing that was, I would say, not a powerful message, but something that, you know,
mm-hmm.
at her prime of career, to decide that, which is... that's why I tell you it's beyond tennis.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about tennis anymore. We're talking about, she was sure, I'm sure, of course,
mm-hmm.
that we want to create a family, and that's why I tell you, yeah, tennis is because we. It's funny that we are tennis player both.
But it's just your job. That's it.
But beyond of that is something we born for life. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But we had this connection, unbelievable connection, and I think all the time she show me, I show her. And that's why I guess I was super lucky to find my wife in my job, let's say. Mm-hmm.
That's super nice.
And from Elina and you as a tennis player, and I would not say maybe the mentality around it, you are different.
Very different.
And how was it to learn from each other? And did you take some stuff from Elina? Did she take some stuff for you?
100%. I mean, she's really different. She's when I say very serious, she's
like you.
when I practice, I'm
professional person. Yeah.
I'm quite bad. Mm-hmm. I always say when I practice, because people see me always happy, but on the mm-hmm. on the practice court, I'm quite bad.
You demand a lot of yourself.
To act a way like the way I act, a little bit confident, it's mean I have confidence that mm-hmm. I put the work.
Of course,
you know. And when I walk in, mm-hmm. I'm really mean. To mm-hmm. be honest, I'm really mean. I really want to work. And her, she's, let's say, stable and work all the time the same. Mm-hmm. And let's say, she give me definitely this line a little bit, mm-hmm. This line of working the ethic, daily ethic, you know. Mm-hmm. She's very, maybe sometime too, I will say sometime, if she doesn't want to do the job, she will force herself to do the job. Mm-hmm. And this, for me, is not really my mentality, because for me, when you don't want to do the job, it's better to don't do the job, because I think your job won't be as good that mm-hmm. with the desire. But not every day we want to practice, mm-hmm. Either her or either me. But she gave me more this thing that, okay, someday I'll tougher and I will force a little bit more on that. But I give her also the day that I think when she feel really bad, to be honest to herself, and then sometimes just to do an hour.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't change.
Yeah, doesn't change anything. So on small change like that, I think we improve both. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I always say also to people is I'm a little bit older than Elina. Mm-hmm. So when I met her, I had also my experiences. So I was also in the way that I'm changing too. Mm-hmm. I'm changing too. So I won't say I get more serious, but I get different experiences. So make me also more aware about stuff. So it was so much easier for me to cope with her on that, about the tennis, because I was 30, like almost 30 when I met her. So it was different that, of course, if I met her, I was 23.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, it's very different experience.
So that's why it was easier to join, let's say, our two forces.
That's nice. You say you had a very close friends outside of tennis related. And you were able to really like build an identity of yourself outside of just being a tennis player. And do you think that gives you the strength and to always like have faith in yourself and like keep going to play tennis? But also, you know, like when you're done with tennis, your life is still great and you have your passion and everything.
100%. Family, friends, they are very important. Mm. They've been around me from day one to till now. My friends, my best friend is my best friend since I'm 9. So his name is Alexandre. He's he's like my brother. I mean, he is my brother. Mm-hmm. To be honest, he's my brother because we grew up together. He helped me. He's the one also tells me if I'm doing bad stuff. He's mm-hmm. the one who always remind me why or who I am. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you have your own doubts, and he is a very important piece mm-hmm. Of my success.
Mm-hmm.
My other friends also. I have many close friends, been there from the beginning of my career, support me, travel with me,
mm-hmm.
Help me also to go a little bit outside of tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you want to stick in tennis and they are, no, come on, let's do 3 days of basketball or mm-hmm. 3 days of football. Go out a little bit of your sport, come with a freshman, come to see what is this, and you will come back better. So, yeah, they've been, my friend, been a huge help for me, honestly, a huge help. Lucky also that I found a good person, yeah. Because sometimes you can have bad one. Bad influence, and then... I've been very lucky to my best friend, and I had a second best friend. Her name is Emily. I met her, I was like maybe 17, and she helped me. She taught me a lot also about many stuff, let's say outside, because she's really outside of tennis, and she taught me a lot outside. So... those two, of course, they've been a huge help in my career.
Yeah, we need those people outside of our tennis world because
no, for sure.
Sometimes we don't always see what is going on outside of our little bubble. And
you know, we had it's funny because my first Roland Garros, she came to see me, my best friend Emily, and I lost this match, and I was super angry. I lost 6-3, 6-1, 6-0.
That's painful.
I was super angry, and then we always have this story because, you know, after the match, you know, she goes to me, oh, it's okay. What do you think? What do you expect? You think you would have won? And then I would get angry at her. So why are you telling me that at that moment? But, you know, then I think I needed to hear maybe someone who's not... really mm-hmm. in the tennis, of course, I play. I was 18, mm-hmm. playing the, I think, top 10, first time in Suzanne Lenglen. What do you expect?
You know? What you were expecting to win.
And her, very naturally, you know, because she doesn't know so much about tennis, but she's my best friend. Mm-hmm. She would tell me, hey, girl, come on. What are you doing?
Don't destroy yourself. It's just a match.
Yeah. I mean, it's a match. And what do you think? We'll have a million Roland Garros. And
it's super important to have people like this and not the other way around, where they are like helping you to burn yourself because you lost a match, right? I mean, at the end, it's just tennis.
Nami was pure, you know? It was really pure. And look, till this day, I tell you, you know, I come back to the coach, he tell me like supernatural. Like,
we go dinner.
Almost, you know? Almost. And I was...
which is the right mindset at the end. You can't do anything anymore. You trained. What you can do is move on, keep training, and get ready for
exactly.
the next one.
Okay, analyze with your coach, mm-hmm. You know, with your coaches, blah, blah, blah. But
learn from it.
Yeah, but hating yourself and being depressed, it's not going to help at all.
And then, yeah, I think friends are very important. Good friends, huh? Mm-hmm. Good friends.
Yes, bad friends are very bad.
we all had, you know, bad experience mm-hmm. for sure. But yeah. Good friends are very important.
Super. And as you were saying before, you're 37. No, you're getting closer to the end of your career. Does it worry you, or are you like, do you have a clear idea of what you want to do next?
I don't have a clear 100%. Because I don't really know when I will stop,
mm-hmm.
in a way. But I know what I want to do a little bit after. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to be more in the way outside of tennis.
Okay, we won't see you coaching.
We never say never.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that's not your idea at the moment.
It's not my idea. I like the finance world, mm-hmm. so maybe do something with finance. I like the watches world, you know. Okay. So mm-hmm. maybe in watches environment, I mm-hmm. like multimedia.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a little bit multimedia, but that's the three areas that I think I want to do something. So. You know, it's I'm building mm-hmm. around those three.
You are already.
Yeah, I'm building around those three, and then when I will really push the button, mm-hmm. that's the end.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to have the clear idea exactly exactly what I'm gonna do.
I think this is super interesting. I think and super helpful to already start having other hobbies or passions or interests, right?
100%. That's helped.
Not even when you're getting close to the end, but probably like throughout your career, like not having all in the tennis, no? Because as we said, it's a roller coaster. And if everything depends on that,
it's
going to be tough, no? And so for sure it can help you throughout your career, but especially at the end, no? Having a clear idea of that you have other passions, that life is not over when it finishes, it's super helpful.
It's really important to have mm-hmm. hobbies. And it's very important also to have a clear idea about some domains that you like,
mm-hmm.
because yes, we love tennis, but you need to know when you finish, you're still young,
mm-hmm.
so you need to know exactly what type of domains that you like. I don't know, it's where you want to go, but mm-hmm. what do you like really outside of mm-hmm. tennis?
You have a starting point on where you want to go.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If it's your hobbies, if it's different stuff. And then, as I told you, sometimes, as you say, it's better to have it a little bit earlier than mm-hmm. at the end. I think a little bit earlier, you can prepare yourself. You can see also that you really like it, you mm-hmm. you're able to, can you see yourself to doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it will be easier.
Exactly. I think probably we have a few young people trying to become tennis players listening to us. What advice would you give them? Because as you have 20 years of career now, you seem like pretty happy with what you do.
We can trust you.
yeah, exactly. I think what would be your advice to them?
On my side, always is enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Tennis is a long road, bumpy. It's never really straight, unless you are a super legend from the beginning.
But even though it comes with a lot of injuries.
Yeah, even though it's not that easy, but yeah. Enjoy the process, because sacrifice, it's easier when you enjoy a little bit. Mm. And it's not easy to enjoy sacrifices. Huh? Don't get me wrong, but try to enjoy the most.
Mm.
Try to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Because tennis is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the end. It's a journey. So enjoy your journey. Mm. Be passionate. But believe in yourself, and if you don't make it to your goal, it's not a failure.
Yeah.
It's just an experience.
Yeah. No, and even I think even if you achieve your goal, but you don't enjoy, at the end is what we were discussing with Caro on her episode, that once she achieved her big goal, her biggest tournament, it was like super fun for one day or 2 days, no, but at the end. After was even worse, because you realize that big goal doesn't fulfill you, know, as much as you thought it will. So for sure, focusing more on the journey, on the process, on the little moments, it's the key that for even when you achieve your goals, you feel inside the right things.
Exactly. You need to enjoy. For me, it's I need to enjoy this. It's a beautiful experience, tennis.
Would you like your daughter to be a tennis player?
Please no. But I tell everybody it's fine, guys.
There's a lot of sacrifice.
No, the thing is a little bit different for our daughter. I mean, if she wants to play, she will play.
But you won't push it.
I won't push it. The thing is because she will have a lot of pressure from the beginning, which is tough. Yes. Because she's the daughter of Elina Svitolina and Gael Monfils.
Well,
so
it's like...
So that's why I can see a little bit, you know, my siblings when they play and still my last sister, she's playing and so much pressure on her.
Yeah.
It's
not healthy.
It's making them life a little bit tougher, you know, for that. So another sport, still will be pressure on her, but
in a different way. Yeah,
in a different way, but as I say, if
there will be not the comparison. At least direct comparison won't be there.
Exactly.
No, but it's not easy though.
But if because this is tough. Imagine she wants to play. Elina, I think she won Roland Garros when she junior. She was 16. Your daughter, she's 16.
She didn't win yet.
She didn't win, and your dad, he win Roland Garros. He was 17. You know,
too bad. Well, 17 is bad.
From the beginning till the end, always, you know, which is tough.
Well, hopefully if she does, she has your mindset of enjoying and not...
But imagine she wins Roland Garros, she's 14.
There's no way, there's no good way, yeah.
No, she will do anything she wants, but I will leave this open to her.
Maybe she can play pickleball.
Anything she wants, you know, like it will be open for her, to be honest. It will be open for her, and maybe, you know, she won't be in sport and she won't be on RT or whatever,
following her dad in finance or in watches.
Exactly. Or artist or whatever she wants, you know. My goal, now of course my goal is to give her like as many opportunities to discover herself and then try to choose her right path. That's my goal, you know, and to try to guide her and then her choice.
Cool. I think we're getting close to the end. So before ending, I wanted to ask you, what's your best memory of your tennis career and what's your worst also?
My best memory is not in my tennis career. It's the first time I beat my dad.
Okay, nice.
I played tennis at the beginning to beat my dad. And for me, that was a goal. And
the highlight of your career is beating your dad.
Honestly, it's something that I always say. It's like my brother. My brother is like 7 years younger than me. I think even when we will be 50 and the first time you will beat me in tennis, maybe,
yeah,
he will be super happy. That will be...
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
You know what I mean? Is my dad was... that was my goal. And then, of course, I always said that because this is true. And then in tennis, I will say matches. I will pick matches and... I have beautiful memories in Roland Garros most of the time. I think the highlight is being able to play in Roland Garros and had some unbelievable memories in Roland Garros.
For sure, that has to be an amazing experience.
And my worst, to be honest, my worst, I cannot call it my worst because I've been tennis been so good to me. So I won't say I had the worst experience or worst thing happened because everything means to happen. And, you know, I learned about everything. So I will say, to be honest, is no worst. Is only maybe the worst would be to stop playing tennis. You know, that would be, I think, my worst.
I love your mindset. Yeah.
No, I mean, for me, it's we know each other for a very long time and we had some long and deep conversation in the past always. And I learned a lot from your experience. It's always a pleasure. So I feel very grateful and very lucky to know you for many years and to be able to share that with you. And thank you very much for being our guest. And
thank you for having me.
I'm glad.
And well, I'm super happy.
Thank you, Gael.
Thank you to you guys.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Tennis Insider.
Thank you, Gael.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to the Tennis Insider Club episode 3 with Gael Monfils. He's such an inspiration on and off the court, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. It was a pleasure to receive him.
Yeah, it was a huge honor to have Gael with us. I really enjoyed the conversation and learned a lot from his amazing mindset and how he's been able to enjoy the not so easy tennis life. So I hope you can also, guys, learn from him as much as we did. And while we wait for the episode 4, you can visit tennisinsider.club to discover our new collection of apparel. See you soon.
See you soon.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.